Welcome to Is Manifesting Bullshit podcast. I'm Cindy Wittemann and I'm your host. Have you ever wondered if manifesting is just a bunch of nonsense? Join me as I embark on a journey to uncover the truth behind this age-old question. In each episode, I'll dive deep into the world of manifestation, interviewing experts, skeptics, and individuals with real-life manifesting experiences. Together, we'll seek to separate fact from fiction and shed light on the mysteries of the mind's power. Tune in and discover whether manifesting is indeed a powerful tool or just a load of BS. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Is Manifesting Bullshit? Today, we have an incredible guest on. He is the author of an amazing book that's a bestseller called The Reinvention Formula. He's also the founder of CLS, and he does many other things like mentor me. So I'm excited to have you on the show today, Craig. Go ahead, introduce yourself and tell us where you're from.
Wow, what an unbelievable introduction. Love the energy. It's great to be here. My name is Craig Siegel, and I am in New York City from Manhattan.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear all of your thoughts on manifesting. So do you believe that manifesting is indeed a tool that you can use to make your life better, or is it just a load of BS?
It's absolutely real. Everything is a manifestation. Everything happens twice. First is a thought, and then in the reality. So you manifest it whether you don't like it or you do like it. So we can reverse engineer that and talk about what goes into that and so forth. But yes, manifestation is absolutely real.
So is this something you believed always, or is this something you've come to know later in life?
I would say the last few years when I really reinvented myself. I was always big into mindset, hardest worker in the room, grind, you know, strategies and tactics, hustle. And there's still a place for that. But a few years back when I really started to go down the rabbit hole and practice Kabbalah and the law of attraction, all that stuff, and kind of, you know, take the fruit, leave the peel, find my spin on it. Yes, I understood loud and clearly that we can manifest anything that we desire, if I'm being honest. And I think the goal should be is to figure out what's actually interfering and getting in the way of what we want to manifest, not trying to do more. But I think most people have it a little twisted and wrong.
Yeah. So I think on another podcast that you were on recently, or you spoke to someone and I heard you say something like, what if feeling good was the point the whole time? Do you remember saying that?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that and how you feel about that.
So abundance is our birthright. We're supposed to, we should absolutely want it all in life. We should be going for it all. Let me just be crystal clear about that. Through society, our upbringing, parents, whatever the case may be, people often get jaded and get dejected. And they think that if I have this, I can't have that. Or they see other people winning and thriving. They say, that's just not in the cards for me. But is that real? No, of course not. We somehow picked it up along the way and we begin to give energy to it and life to it and we breathe it into existence. And I speak from contrast because for years, I was probably, if I'm being honest, I don't think I've ever said this out loud, but I was manifesting things that I probably didn't desire. Why? Because subconsciously, those were really the thoughts that were happening. I had a lot of doubt. Maybe fear, insecurities. We all still have those, to be clear. No one's righteous here. We're working on correcting it. But I started to understand that wherever I was in life a few years back before I reinvented myself, it was no one's fault but my own, right? I got here. I could also climb out of it and I could change the narrative. I could change my trajectory, right? If I start giving life and energy to a new plot in my movie, and start breathing life into that and so forth. And so, you know, a quote that I always loved is, how good can you stand it? Because you just mentioned another one, like, what if feeling good is the whole point? What if feeling good is the whole point? And what we need to do right now is figure out what's interfering with us feeling good. And oftentimes it's this reprogramming and we can change that and we can, you know, sing a different tune, if you will. March to a different drum and change the thought patterns and start cultivating brand new, fresh, exciting beliefs that help us manifest the life that we desire.
Yeah, I love that. And I know you love to get deep, and so do I. So whenever we talk about, you know, what if feeling good was the whole point? I actually mentioned that to someone yesterday, and they said, well, that's a dangerous thing to say because people can do a lot of bad with that. And so what will be your counter to that? To someone say, well, if feeling good is the whole point, then maybe I just want to gamble all the time, or maybe I want to go and do things that are illegal or whatever. What would you say to that?
That's not feeling good. Those might be, depending upon who you spoke to, temporary moments of pleasure. And those are absolutely part of the human experience, right? So for example, you do drugs, I imagine. You have a temporary pleasure. But nobody is going to tell you to keep doing drugs because that's not good, right? You're not going to feel good for very long. Eventually you crash or whatever the case may be. I'm not an expert in that. But that's not sustainable. Those are momentary moments of perceived pleasure depending upon who you are. Even eating pizza before you go to bed, right? That's a moment of pleasure. But doing that too often, that's obviously not good for you, right? So there's a big difference between feeling good and moments of pleasure. And I would be intentional and strategic about, you know, what those pleasures are that you're seeking in this human experience.
That's exactly what I said. So good. Good. We're on the same
always on the same page. Always.
Yeah, because it is. It's a moment of instant gratification. And then, of course, the fallback comes. You know, anytime you do something that only feels good temporary, then it's never going to last long. So it's important if you're trying to be in a feeling of good to make sure that that's going to be something you've looked three steps ahead, that that's going to be a continuation of feeling good and not just instant. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Another thing that you always say, Craig, that I love is about the plot in your movie and how you can change that. Can you share that with the audience?
Yeah. So wherever anybody is right now, whether you're on the right path or you feel like you're here for a lot more, or maybe you're struggling, or maybe you're just not satisfied, it's your movie. And everybody in your movie is essentially an extra because you're the main character. But here's the great news. You're not just the main character. You're also the director, right? And you can change the next scene. You could change the plot. You could even change the geographical location. You could change the supporting cast. You could do anything that you want. And so, you know, when I felt stuck for very long on Wall Street and so forth, and to be clear, I wouldn't have changed part of my journey because it was all part of my story and so forth. I felt stuck. I wasn't actually stuck. There's a big difference. Once I got really quiet in the lockdown and the pandemic, and I was able to block out the ego and the opponent, really connect and draw upon the divine inspiration, it occurred to me that there is always a choice. There's always something you can do, right? So for example, a lot of people in the beginning of lockdown, aside from COVID, there was a lot of people that were just really down and waiting, you know, to get relief from the government money or, you know, whatever. They were down in the dumps, negative outlook. I looked at the same situation, and to be clear, I shut down my office too. I wasn't getting paid at the time. I said, wow, what an opportunity to work on something that I really love. When is the world ever going to have the opportunity again to really lock down and just focus, hyper-focus on something that you're passionate about? And so I made that choice. And so granted, I have not made all the best choices in my whole life. I want to be clear about that. But in the lockdown, I did put it together. And so when I say it's your movie, you can change the narrative. If you don't like the current trajectory of the plot, you can do something else. You can reinvent yourself. You could change careers. You could find a different relationship. You can move. You could do anything you want. And I think so many people are so afraid of feeling disappointed if it doesn't work out that they don't even try, right? But interestingly enough, all the real growth and expansion in our own individual lives happens outside of our comfort zone. So that's why I kind of got addicted to saying playing small is canceled.
Oh, I love playing small is canceled. You know, I come across a lot of people that are having a hard time starting with step one. You know, they want something different. They want to manifest it. They want a better life. They want a better career. They want all of these things, but they're really struggling to get past step one. What advice would you give somebody who's in the beginning phases of trying to make a big change and reinvent their lives?
Is it possible that there is a better scenario for you in this human experience? I would ask them. And if they're feeling stuck or like they're underachieving or that they're here for something more, They first have to have the awareness and the consciousness that this is just a season and it is possible to change, to pivot, to reinvent yourself, do something else. And if they're willing to acknowledge that, okay, great. Now let's get intentional. What would we want to do? What does that look like? What do you desire? And then obviously we can reverse engineer that and start talking strategies, tactics, and so forth to get it off the ground. But first it comes with the awareness that you do have a choice and the belief that you could be more, you could become something different. You could fulfill a desire, a passion, a calling, contribute. So as long as the awareness is there and the desire and the intentionality, putting it together, in my opinion, is kind of the easy part.
Yeah, once you get past step one, it really does seem like other doors open. I mean, and from my own experience, I don't know if that's yours as well, but it really did seem that way, that once I got past step one, it was like, okay, now I can get to step two, and then we can move forward and start to really get strategic about what we're working with. Do you have any tips?
I just wanted to stay there for a second. I think that's really powerful, because what really is step one? Step one is realizing that you're here for more and that it's possible that there's more out there for you. And if you believe that's possible, what does that look like? What would that be, hypothetically speaking? And then all of a sudden you start to get momentum, and because you're awakening this desire, now the creator has an opportunity to meet you halfway and open up doors and opportunities and so forth. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to really hammer that home, because it was a really beautiful point by you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Please do. I think you landed that perfectly. What advice would you give to somebody as far as, you know, like some people say to get to step one or two or 10, maybe you should do journaling, or you should do, you know, writing in the morning, or maybe you should do a morning routine, or maybe you should, what are your thoughts on how somebody could really like jumpstart their reinvention?
First and foremost, I'm really spiritual these days. Really have an appetite for that stuff. And for those that are listening right now that are just like, what does it even mean to be spiritual? I just want to clarify that. That means that you believe that there's more going on here than beyond our logic, right? So there's energy we could tap into. There's infinite light available. And so a lot of people are out there looking for more. I need to achieve more. I need to meet this person. I need more followers. They have it wrong, in my opinion. All of the light is already here. What we need to do is figure out how to expand our vessel so that we can receive the light, which is already here. Most people are operating on 60 watt light bulbs, but yet they desire 1,000 watts of energy. How's that possible? How's that going to work out? You know, it's like when the lottery winners win the lottery, or somebody goes viral, typically there's a crash, right? It's not sustainable. They go bankrupt, whatever the case may be. It's because even though they came into this new money or went viral, they never built their vessel to be able to contain this new abundance. So just understanding that it all starts within, being able to learn how to receive and so forth. I think that's the most important thing that we can do. And then in regards to spirituality, strategies, tactics, the masculine energy, hustling, it's all great stuff. But we really, really have to connect to something bigger, whatever people's thing is that are listening. For me, it's the creator. Some people might be universe, quantum, Hanukkah, Harry, whatever your thing is. But just connecting, blocking out the ego, the opponent that wants you to play small, that wants you to stay trapped, that doesn't want you to shine your light. Really connecting and being able to receive those downloads on what your gifts are. And to be clear, our gifts aren't ours. They were given to us. It's our responsibility to channel those and contribute to the world and help others reveal their light in return, reveal our own light and so forth. And so really getting quiet and connecting. So journaling is a great one. I'm not big on meditating per se. Like, you're not going to find me in the corner of my place in New York City, just like Indian style meditating. For me, running is a moving meditation where I do my best connecting. But I would encourage everybody to intentionally create their own white space where they don't necessarily have an agenda. They can just connect and see what comes through, and you will get a ton of downloads.
That's ringing so true to me, because, you know, I've dealt with a lot of struggle throughout my life. And for many years, I thought, well, I can't get there because of this person, or I can't get there because of that person, or because of this or that, or whatever the circumstance was that wasn't favorable. But once I realized that all along the power was within me, And my choice is to choose something different than the movie that was playing at that moment. Once I figured that out, it was like a light bulb. It was like, oh, wow, this is so easy. And it feels right. And it doesn't feel like a struggle. And so everything you're saying is really ringing true to me.
Good. And that's one reason why we connected like pretty much right out the gate, right off the bat. I love what you're about. And I think that people might not realize how spiritual you are. But when we've had some deep conversations, I've gotten to know you a little bit better. And this is the good stuff, in my opinion. I spent a lot of time in the masculine energy. And to be clear, I'm about creating a union between the masculine and the physical and the feminine energy. I don't want to just give up on the masculine energy. There's a time to grind, work hard, and all that stuff. But really being able to tap in, to allow, to receive, to get the downloads, this is the juicy stuff that I really want to see people paying a little bit more attention to. It's really the needle movers.
So once you've figured out the secret sauce, Craig, have you noticed that it's so much easier than the grind you were in before, or does it feel kind of like the same?
No, it's much easier. And to be clear, I still work a little too much because I love this stuff. And we're scaling, we're growing, and we're hiring. And I'm being vulnerable with you right now on your show. I'm probably still wearing a little bit more hats than I'd like to admit. But I understand the path. And this is just a temporary season. But really being able to connect and manifest and call in the stuff and expand the vessel, that has led to so much more growth and expansion, money, wealth, relationships, fulfillment, all the things. So that's really what I'm focused on. That it has become easier for sure. But I love to work. So yeah. I'll always have a part of that as well.
Yes. And when you're the creator and the founder, I mean, you have to do those things to really set your team up for success in the beginning, of course. And then since it doesn't really feel like work because you love it so much, and I'm in the same way, I have a lot of hats as well. But it doesn't feel like work to me. So I do spend a little bit more time than what maybe I should. But to me, it feels exciting and it feels fun. And when I get a new idea or my team comes up with something new that we can implement or try, like to me, that's like just excitement, like light. It's everything to me.
Yeah. There's a quote I love. Instead of searching for work-life balance, like I don't even know what that is, try to create work-life integration where you don't have a career or life that you feel like you need a vacation from, because you can do this stuff whenever and wherever you desire. And I think that's why you're so in your element and so on fire and straight up just so jazzed about life. And I am as well.
Yeah, I love that about you. So this is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so you and I and lots of us talk about, manifesting and growing our brain and our vessel and the light and all of these things. What advice would you give to somebody who maybe is experiencing a little bit of a mental health issue and they're trying to figure out if they could incorporate these teachings in their lives?
I would grab both of our books, mine and yours. That's a good start. If you can't afford it, just shoot me a message. Let me know you heard the conversation here and I'll send you one myself. The first thing that comes to mind is to surround yourself with mentorship or coaches or someone. I used to frown upon that. It was like, I'll figure it out myself, or no one's going to, do it as good as I can. That was such a mentality of lack. I have a council now. I have people that I confide in that are a little bit further ahead than I am in anything and everything that I want to improve upon. So I would definitely say seek out mentors of people that are maybe sitting in the seat that you'd like to sit in. Now, if you can't afford that per se, books, podcasts, even YouTube and stuff like that, social media to an extent, and really just put yourself in that frequency, in that vibration of certainty, of a knowing, of self-belief, of courage, of a high vibe, and then simultaneously start journaling or working on what it is that you want to do, what you want to create, where you want to take this beautiful blessing that is your life. And when you're around mentorship or guidance or high vibes and you start to get clarity and desire, that's a perfect recipe for a quantum leap.
Agreed. Yes. And I've been told that my whole life, surround yourself with people. And I've always thought, well, what are they going to do for me? What are they going to teach me? And now I've learned, of course, now that I'm, a little bit older, now that I'm 21.
21.
Why are you laughing, Craig?
You look 21. You look younger than me. I could say that.
So once I realized that that was true and I started to surround myself with people like yourself and the CLS community and other people that are further along than where I see that there's a better way. I see that there's more than what I thought there was. I see there's a different way of seeing it. And my phrase for 2024 is, are you willing to see it differently? And that's so big to me, because so often I talk to people and they're so fixed in their mindset, they don't want to see it differently. They're not willing. And so that's a whole other conversation versus someone who is willing to see it differently. You can really make a lot more momentum whenever you're willing to see it differently. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you. I agree with most of the things that you say, if I'm being honest. yeah, I have nothing to add to that. I agree.
Well, I am just so enjoying this conversation. Is there anything that you want to tell the audience that's coming up for you soon?
We have the book, The Reinvention Formula, Wall Street Journal, USA Today bestseller. The community which you're a part of is growing rapidly. We have really, really, really good humans in there. So yes, it's our community, but what I take pride in most is such a big difference between an audience and a community. As you know, it's the relationships inside there. The community is so strong to the extent that I don't even have to be in the room, and it's going to be thriving because of all the unbelievable dynamic and special supportive relationships in there, such as yourself. So between that, obviously the coaching, the podcast, we're speaking a lot now. We spoke at the UN. We started doing these VIP dinners where people are flying out all over the country to be in a room for dinner in New York City. We had 40 people at the last one 2 weeks ago for my birthday. It was special. Other than that, come say hello. I love to engage. If you heard the episode here and you have a USL, you could join our free texting community. We give out inspirational nuggets throughout the week. Text 917-634-3796. Text the word Cindy, so I know you heard it here. And just keep following Cindy. She's on fire. She really, really, really cares. And she's very persistent. And it's great to have. And just all good things. Come say hello, yeah.
So tell us, Craig, what is your favorite part of being you?
Authenticity. The reason why I say that is because I spent so long being inauthentic. And it was heavy. And it was difficult. And now it's like, not every single day is 10 out of 10, right? We're having a human experience. But when you have a connection and self-belief and you're showing up to the world as the real, raw, naked, weird, authentic version of yourself, it's like whatever happens, we're going to get through it. And I'm also a big believer in that whatever does happen is from the creator is net positive when it's all said and done. So don't worry too much. But just being authentic for anyone listening, it's probably a little bit tougher than it sounds. It might be the toughest, most courageous thing you do to really be yourself. Not everybody's going to love it. That's okay. But that's who we were created to be. And it's a superpower in itself. So I think finally finding the courage to really, really, really be me is what I love about being me.
I love that too. You know, one of the things that I noticed about you right off the bat when we first started, you know, getting to know each other is that you say, I love you a lot. You say, love you, man. Love you. Love you. You're just always saying love you to everybody in the community. If you have something in your podcast, you're just so free with that word. And in my life, I've seen a lot of men shy away from saying that. What is it about that word that you makes you want to say it so much, which I love?
I love a lot of people. You know, there's different types of love for sure. But I believe we're all connected, you know, and we're meant to do good. I know not everyone's human experience turns out that way. The people that I surround myself with, the people that I attract, are on a similar trajectory in wanting to make a massive impact, contribute unapologetically, make a lot of money, have fun, laugh, do some great stuff, be epic. And those people I love. And, you know, ego gets in the way a lot with certain people. You can show them the way, you can teach them, you can encourage them. Can't save everybody to an extent. People kind of have to go through their own journey and so forth. But for the most part, if I say I love you to someone, it's because I do. And I care about a lot of people. Sometimes to a fault, my fiance likes to remind me. You know, she's an immigrant mentality from Ukraine. But I just, you know, one of the things that I do really well, and I don't do everything well, is I help people see in themselves what they couldn't do in the first place. I really believe in people. And I help them start to believe in themselves. And I just have a lot of love in my heart these days.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I really, really like about you is because whenever you do say, I love you, I can tell, like, it's so genuine, it's so real. And I absolutely love the fact that you're willing to say that word freely. When you feel it, you just say it. And that's another thing I really admire about you is when you feel something, you're not afraid to just say it and let it come off. And I love that. I think it's just so beautiful. And I want to see as many people in this world, you know, be more authentic as possible. As you know, I have this huge mission to show people around the world that, you know, you might look at Craig on this beautiful platforms and see how wonderful everything is for him, but he's still human, you know? And me too. You could see me on a TV show or a magazine and think, well, she's got it all figured out. And that's not the case. Like you said, we're living this human experience and every day is not a 10 out of 10 and it's not always perfect and it's not always easy. So I'm so grateful that you're willing to share that side of you.
We got to keep it real. And, you know, I know other people are struggling more than, you know, maybe us right now. And life's full of seasons, you know? You stay connected, you surround yourself with the right people, you do the personal development. I think people forget about that word, development. You continue to develop. You know, your life will be net positive and you'll do a lot of great stuff and you'll have a lot fewer of the tougher days.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being on today, Craig. Why don't you tell the audience where they can find you? They can get to know more about your book, your programs, everything that you have to offer.
On social media, at Craig Siegel _CLS, our website, CultivateLasticSymphony.com. I gave the phone number earlier. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, the CLS Experience, anywhere you buy books, the Reinvention Formula, or if you just want to say hello on the social channels, come say what up. It's typically me, for the most part, responding. Sometimes I can't get to everybody, but I don't have an ask today. I just wanted to come in and pour into your audience, and hopefully they got some nuggets from it. And just thank you so much for having me.
Of course, I know they did. Thank you so much for being on. And everybody, you heard exactly where to find Craig. Definitely reach out. He's got all the nuggets every day that can really help to up-level and uplift your life. So once again, thank you for being on, Craig. If anybody out there wants to buy the best-selling book, Is Manifesting Bullshit? You can find that on my website at cfviews.com. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.